Man, whatever happens to you happens to the people you love. Listen, sin does not only pollute you, it pollutes the people that love and care about you that you come into contact with. Same way with the church. We're a family.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Real Religion and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today, we are going to be talking about real religion. Amen. This is a real religion. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Key verse, James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Holy Father, we come to you today. We thank you, God. Father, I pray you will open up our hearts to receive your word, to live it, God, and to apply it to our own lives and to the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Real religion. I don't want to be a fake. Does that make me perfect? No. No. Does that make our church perfect? No. Real religion. Listen to this verse. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So number one, we got to take care of other people. We got to look around the world and see who God has put in our path that we can help, that we can pray for, that we can give to, that we can serve. Amen? But then, in order to do that, you have to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Man, the world's out to get you. I don't want to see my sheep that the Lord has given me be polluted by the world. I don't want you guys to be dragged down that path. The world can destroy you, and it is after you, and you don't want to be polluted by it. What does that mean to be polluted by the world? The world. He's talking about the world system. The world system is against God. The world's ways are against God's ways. Amen? Listen to this. You don't want to be polluted by this. You turn on the internet, open up your email, and you get solicited with pornography, pollution. Delete that stuff. You go into a store and there's a liquor aisle. Pollution. Walk away from that stuff. Amen? You go down the street and your buddy's smoking something he shouldn't be smoking. Pollution. Don't let it in your body. Don't let it in your life. Man, whatever happens to you happens to the people you love. Listen, sin does not only pollute you. It pollutes the people that love and care about you that you come into contact with. Mothers, you know if you carry a child and you smoke and you drink and you do drugs, that child's going to have problems at birth, right? And you also know that after that child is born, if one of the parents or both of the parents or anybody around that child is doing something that's wrong, becomes an alcoholic, becomes a drug addict, becomes a thief or anything, it pollutes the family, doesn't it? Same way with the church. We're a family. And anything that happens to you guys happens to the rest of us. You see what I'm saying? You got to take care of yourself so that you can help take care of us. And we got to take care of us so we can help take care of you. What if Pastor was a drunk? Y'all think it's funny, but what if it was true? I'm not held to a higher standard than you guys are. I'm just held to a higher accountability. Ooh, did you hear what I said? Because the Lord has put me in stewardship over this church. Yes, I'm more accountable. But I'm not held to a higher standard. God expects everything in a Christian as he does in a pastor. Okay? So if I have to live clean, you have to live clean. It doesn't excuse you. So we want to be clean and not polluted by the world. Now listen, this is the religion I'm talking about. Personal religion, John 3:3. I'm reading out the NIV, by the way. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Born again. What does that mean to be born again? Everybody hears that. What does that mean? It means that we were all born by a mother, right? Right? We all came out of a womb, right, guys? Right, women? But Jesus says that we have to be born again spiritually. Spiritually, God's spirit has to come into us and quicken our spirit and live within inside of us. I'm born again. I should act like it, right? I'm not the old James. I'm the new creation. We must be born again through repentance and faith. When God forgives our sins, he receives us into the family of God. If you're a Christian, you belong to a new family. You belong to a family of God. Now, last time I checked, the family of God was not to pollute itself, right? One's supposed to be cussing. One's supposed to be out partying, right? Real Christians, true Christians, who are active members of the family of God, live their life as such. If you don't want to be a part of this family, you're in the wrong place. Because my family loves one another. My family's not perfect. We have our problems, okay? I'm not perfect. But we do love one another. We do take care of one another. We do help one another. We do not backstab one another. We do not gossip about one another. We do not attack one another. We might get angry. We might even sin in our anger sometimes. But we love one another. We say we're sorry. We ask for forgiveness. And we repent of what we've done to one another. And we try to go forward. We try to go forward because we love one another. Real religion is personal. When you're doing it with God. Many in today's world profess religion, but have never experienced a spiritual and personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Luke 13:3, but unless you repent, you too will perish. You think God's playing with your life? He's not. Because I'm going to tell you something, and I know you all know what I'm talking about. I know you know this. If you got somebody living in your family, in your household, that is not living to your standards, right, to your belief systems, if they're stealing from you, if they're lying to you, if they're taking stuff away from other people in your family, in your house, you're going to throw them out, aren't you? Who wants a thief living in their home? Who wants a backstabber living in their home, a gossiper living in their home, tearing things up, tearing relationships apart? God doesn't want it either. Unless you repent, you too will perish. There are Christians out there who will profess Jesus Christ. They profess him. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. And they go out and they live the same life they've lived before they were saved. Before they were saved. That's not true religion with God. That's not change. That's not repentance. You have to repent. Second, the religion that we have as Christians is a purifying religion. Who wants to be purified? Who wants to be cleaned up by God? I do. I need cleaning. Anybody who is perfect, don't raise your hand. But if you're not perfect, I say you raise your hand because I want to be purified. Listen to this. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Walk in the light. What's the light? The light is the word of God. It means to be obedient. It means to seek God's face in everything you do. Many Christians have never totally committed their lives to Jesus Christ. They falter because they persist in having their own way. I'll come to church when I feel like it. I'll give my tithes when I feel like it. But when I'm away from church and I'm away from my fellow Christians, I am going to live any way that I want to live. And you cannot tell me how to live, preacher man. Okay, that's fine. It's free will. You have that right under God to do that. But you will not have victory. You won't have it. You won't have it because God blesses those who obey him. The Bible says that it is better to obey than to sacrifice. See, when you sacrifice in the Old Testament, it meant that you disobeyed. And sometimes you could do something to somebody that is so bad that sorry just don't cut it. Right? So the best thing to do is not to do anything at all that's bad to somebody, right? Walk a straight line and love people the way you want to be loved. Be a little bit more understanding. Be a little bit more understanding. Try to look at a person and see what they're going through in their life before you judge them. Right? Don't just look at yourself and say, oh, man, I want it my way. I don't care how they feel. I don't care how much they're going through. I don't care how much work they got to do in a week. I just want it my way. They owe me something. Nobody owes you anything. Who owes you something? Nobody owes me anything. Nobody owes you anything either. This is your life, right? You live it the way you want to live it, right? Amen? And when you do something that people tell you, oh, I wouldn't do that, and you do it anyways, you say to them, well, it's my life. I'll live it any way I want to. But then suddenly, when you want something from somebody, you act like they owe it, right? No. We must surrender our will and seek God's will. Doing so brings cleansing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, some of us are fighting God. We pray, but then we pick up the problem after we pray. Oh, God, I really need your help in this situation, but until you help me, I'm going to do it my way. Man, don't you know that your way is the wrong way? My way is the wrong way? It's God's way or the highway. Amen. We must surrender our will and seek God's will. Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? What would you have me do in my life? What would you have me do? I'm telling you, you got a time limit on your life. Nobody knows when God is going to call you home. But I do know some of you in here have loved ones that have been called home, and you know how fast God can call the number. Amen. We got to get straight with God today, because tomorrow you might not be here. Or the person that he told you to witness to might not be here tomorrow. It could be too late. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you going to be when Jesus shows up? If he was to part the clouds right now, what are you going to be caught doing? Is he going to catch you in a sin? In a lifestyle of sin? And look down at you and say, depart from me. I never knew you. No relationship. No relationship. That's scary. May God himself, the God of peace. What is God of? He's the God of peace. Peace, love, joy, happiness. If he's that God and we serve him, do we have peace? Do we have love? Do we have joy? Do we have kindness? Do we have the attributes of the Father that we claim that we're children of? Because if we don't, we better check our status with the kingdom. We better ask ourselves, have I really repented, God? Or have I just said the words and my mind knows that Christ died for me, but my heart doesn't accept it? Right? You've had people come up to you and say, I'm your friend. And you look at them and you think to yourself, no, you're not. No, no, because a real friend would be here. A real friend would stand by me. A real friend wouldn't gossip behind my back. A real friend wouldn't judge me when I make a mistake. A real friend would love me even when I'm unlovable. That's the kind of friend we have in Jesus. I don't deserve his love. But thank God he gives it to me anyways. Positive religion. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. There's people out there that will curse their brothers and sisters in Christ. Curse them. Say horrible things about them, sometimes through their face, but mostly behind their back. Is that love? Is that love? Oh, I'm just venting, Pastor. You just don't know what they've done to me. So it makes it okay for you to do it right back to them as well? Why would you want to lower yourself to someone who's attacked you? If you're mad at them for attacking you and saying bad things about you, then why are you doing the same thing? You just made yourself just like them. And everything that you say about that person that's negative, you're saying it to yourself because you're doing the same thing. But we don't always see it that way, do we? That's called self-righteousness. But God says in his holy word that anyone who does not love remains in death. Listen, it's easy to love the people around you that are doing good to you. But what about the people who aren't doing good? What about the people that don't like you? What about the people that attack you? Do you still love them back? Or do you laugh when you see your enemy in crisis? Woohoo! He deserved that. That's what he gets for being bad to me. That's not love. God loved us while we were still in our sins, right? Before we were saved, he looked down and says, I love you. God loves the sinner. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. There is a lack of sureness in today's religion. Many are vague and uncertain about their spiritual state. They declare, I guess so, or I hope so. Christians have told me, I don't know, I might be saved, I don't know. And what are they doing? They're basing that on their good works. They're basing on how they're pleasing God in their daily activities. I'm not talking about repentance. I'm just talking about you might mess up here and there. And God knows that you're going to mess up. You're not perfect, right? I'm not perfect. But that's not an excuse to do wrong. When we start using our imperfections as an excuse to live any way we want to, shame on us. That's not an excuse. True Christians know who their Father is, and when someone comes up and points out something to them in love and gentleness and says, hey, brother, hey, sister, this isn't the way you should be living. This isn't the way you should be speaking. This isn't the way you should be acting. I love you, and I'm telling you what God's word says about what you're doing. Now, if you get mad, you get angry, and you strike back at that person, that's not love. True love is to be able to accept the criticism of a friend who's trying to help you. You have to humble yourself. You have to be sure that Jesus died for your sins once and for all. And because you made a mistake yesterday, you're not going to hell today. You have to be sure of this. Because if you're not sure, how are you going to tell other people about it? Hey, buddy, I think I'm saved. You want to find out if you are too? That's ridiculous, isn't it? You have to walk knowing that God has saved you through his son, Jesus Christ, and that you are forgiven. Christians can be positive that they are saved. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You want to prove to me that you're a Christian? Show me the love that you have for other people. Not just the church. Not just your family and your friends and the people who do good. Let me see it when somebody attacks you and you don't strike back and you don't get hateful and the whole town doesn't hear about it. You take it in stride. You say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive me, Father, for being so angry right now and having these thoughts of what I want to do to them. Because you know them thoughts get in there, right? Somebody make you mad? The devil will try to bring evil deeds into your life that change you like himself, to make you strike out at people who have hurt you. Fourth, we have a powerful religion in Christ. You're weak without him. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Man, that's a safe place, isn't it? Heaven. Who through faith are shielded by God's power. Power. Everybody say power. Until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm getting something from God. It may not be here today. It may not be coming tomorrow. But in the last day when Jesus parts them clouds and you hear the trumpet blow, God's got something for me. It's called salvation. And there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. You know what? It's a good thing that you invite people to church. Thank God that we have people that invite people to church. We need them here. But you want to know something? We have to live like Christians in front of people too. We have to be an example of Jesus. Did you know that perhaps God puts you in the situation around all of the evil, wicked, nasty, mean people that you're around because he knows that you know how to be a Christian if only you would do it? That you might be the only Christian that that person or persons ever get a chance to be around before they die. that you could be the true example of how a Christian should live. And you know how to do it, but you don't want to. No, God, I'm not going to live that way. I'll just act that way when I come to church. And if you don't think you'll be held accountable for that, then you don't know the God of the Bible that I serve, because he sees everything and he knows everything. And don't think that I will judge you, but God the Father will judge you. I'm just the messenger. I could just tell you what the Bible says. I don't make the rules. But God says that he's keeping our salvation safe in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven for yourself. God's got rewards for every single person in this room. But guess what? You got to be obedient to get those rewards. You tell a child you get good grades, you get an extra $20 in your allowance. That should motivate him, right? But if he doesn't do good in school, do you still give him the 20 bucks? It teaches them to do wrong. There's no consequence. I just live any way I want to live. Do anything I want to do. No one's going to get me. No other religion gives such promises of power and ability to save and to keep those who believe. Christians have it made. We got a God that did it for us. We're the only religion where God did it for us. All the other religions, you got to get your own salvation. God doesn't even look at your deeds. He looks at your salvation through Jesus Christ. He brought Jesus to us, and Jesus said, I'll take the blame. I'm innocent, but I'll take the blame. But you have to agree. Now, it's easy in a court of law when someone's trying to get you out of trouble. You'll take, let them take the blame. Why won't we let Jesus take the blame? Why won't we let Jesus take the punishment for us? He's willing, he's ready. Now listen, if you really believe that Jesus died for your sins, if you really believe that he raised himself from the dead on the third day, if you really believe that he sits on the right-hand side of God, you will have joy like no other joy. You will truly believe that when you die, you're not going to really be dead, that you're going to be resurrected in a new body, and that you will be standing in the glory of God forever and ever. And if that doesn't make you shout for joy, then you don't really believe. Because if I told you that I just bought you a new car and you didn't see it outside, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. But if I showed you the car, you'd be flipping out all over the place, wouldn't you? Because you'd believe. Same difference with Christians. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Where's the joy? Where's the joy? Okay. Through Christ, Christians have the power of God behind them in everything they do in his will. You want to do something for God? Ask him, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to do, God. I want to be your servant and watch him open up the doors for you. It might be something small in the beginning to teach you to be obedient, to teach you to trust. My first ministry was handing out Bibles, but I was a good steward in what the Lord showed me to do, because at the time I couldn't do anything else. So I was witnessing when I could, and I was passing out Bibles. And the Lord blessed me, and he moved me along up to greater things to do because he could trust me, and he teached me how to handle the bigger things. John 14:14, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. My name means his will. If you come in Jesus Christ, God will open the door for you. Nobody can stand in your way. You're coming in his authority. But if you're doing your own agenda, you're doing your own thing, the door will be shut and you'll have to pry it open, bang it open, pick the lock like a thief, be dishonest, do something out of God's word to get to what you want. If you're struggling to get something and you're out of God's word while you're trying to get it, you shouldn't have it. Leave it alone. Keep that door closed. There's some doors in your life you don't want to open. Amen? If God said, don't touch it, don't touch it. Amen? But if God said, do it, trust him. Say, Lord, I heard you. And this lines up with your word. I know it's from you, God. Now open the door, God. Open the door and I'll walk through it. But sometimes God will even open the door for us. But we don't believe in the power of God, and we're scared to go through that door. That life is too hard for me to do, God. I can't live that life. And God is saying to you, I'm not asking you to live the life. I'm asking you to let me live through your life. Amen? But he can't do that unless you surrender. We also have a productive religion, John 15:16. But I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. What fruit is he talking about? The spiritual fruits. The 9 fruits. Love, gentleness, kindness, perseverance. That's a hard one. That means putting up with people and things you don't want to put up with. And you wonder why God puts those people in your life that aggravate you. It's to teach you that fruit. Because that's the one fruit people don't want to grow in their life. Patience, perseverance, long suffering. How much longer, Lord, am I going to have to put up with this person in my life until you love them? I ain't never going to love them. No, you can't make me. Then they're going to be there a long time. But I don't like them, God. They hate me. They're mean to me. I know. But I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. If you're a Christian, God chose you. Hallelujah. You've been picked by God. Now he's going to plant you somewhere. Where's God going to plant you that you can grow fruit at? What? In a place where you can work, where everybody's good to you and you make lots of money and life is easy? Man, without some pruning, fruit don't grow. He's going to put you in a place where it's going to be like snip, snip, pluck, pluck. People will be bugging you, harassing you. Oh, if God loves me, he'd get me out of this job. I don't make enough money. The people are mean to me here. And God says, bear it. Bear that fruit. Bear that fruit. That's what I called you to do, because you got to witness to some tough people. Tough people. And you got to be tough. You got to be tough. Many Christians fail to work diligently for God. Some are unconcerned and some are neglectful. Others are spiritually lazy. You pick somebody up from work, ask them how their day went. And they tell you all the negative. They tell you about all the people that drove them nuts. But then you ask them, did you witness to that person? Maybe they need Jesus. Oh, that person doesn't care about Jesus. That person would never come to God. Oh, but you would and they wouldn't. You're just so much above them. Man, God saved me. I know he can save other people. I think he's pretty capable of it. Amen. Many Christians fail to work diligently for God. Pastor, I come to church. Isn't that enough? Man, I even opened the door for somebody when I got here. I said amen 3 times. They're unconcerned. Who cares? So what? Somebody else can witness to them. Some are neglectful. Ain't my job. Others are just lazy. I'll do it when I have time. When things are going good for me, that's when I'll tell them about Jesus. I don't have a witness right there. I don't have a testimony. Things ain't going good for me. Well, that's not why you serve God in the first place. God didn't come to save you out of your problems. He came to save you out of hell. We must be about the master's business. Jesus is coming soon. Yes, he is coming soon. We should pray for the needs of others, assist the less fortunate, and share Christ with the unsaved. Share Christ with the unsaved. If you're going to share God with somebody, what good does it do just to share it with people who agree with you? Right? Who already know about him? Yes, it's nice to fellowship with one another. That's important. But see, you guys are going to leave here today. And I'm not going with you. And you're going to run into people I can't witness to. And so you need to be the ambassador that God sends. And I can look around in here and see a couple of people who have a great opportunity to witness the people who have taken wrong turns in their lives. Each and every one of us has a life outside of the church. And God makes it so, because he wants you to go out and make disciples where I can't go. So what you want to do is you want to tell them about the good news, and then you want to bring them to church. You want to invite them. You want to help them get to church. You want to eliminate their excuses for going to church. Well, I don't have a ride. Church has a van now, and I've got a car. Maybe I can come pick you up. Be gentle, be loving, be caring. We want to rescue people out of hell, and we can only do that with the help of God. Amen? All right, conclusion. A religion of works does not please God. A religion of works. What do I mean by that? Because I just told us that we had to be obedient, right? Works is things that you do to impress God for the sake of impressing Him. Real religion is faith in Jesus, which produces good works. See, if you believe in God and you believe in His Son Jesus and you believe what He did for you, that belief will cause you to do the good works. Because then you're going to want to please Him. This is what it is to serve Jesus. You're looking around to see what God is asking you to do. And you're doing that because you love Him so much that you want to do it, that you have a desire to do it. And third, God wants our religion to be a relationship with Him through Christ. I was talking about this with somebody over the week. Listen, God loves you enough that He wants to spend time with you. And if all you do is come here to church on Sunday and then leave here and don't say a prayer afterwards, unless you're in trouble with something, you need something, you don't read your Bibles, you don't fellowship with other believers, if you don't do any of that, you're not spending time with God. The whole purpose of Him in restoring you back into relationship with Him is to be with Him, right? Is to be with Him, to spend time with Him. Doesn't that give you honor that God wants to spend time with all of you? He wants to spend time with you. He wants to hear about the things you like. He wants to hear about your day. He wants to hear from you all through the day. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. That means to have a spirit of prayer. God cares about every little thing. Stop thinking God doesn't care about the little stuff. He does. It's just that we don't care enough to mention it to Him. Come on, man. If you're sad, if you're grieving, if you miss somebody in your life, cry in front of God. Tell Him about it. He already knows, but He wants to hear about it. Let it out to Him. You're angry with somebody, call God up before you call somebody on the phone and start trashing out another human being's name. So we need to have a religion that's a relationship with God through Jesus.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.